more than that. This time I'm letting John do it all. We're not speaking.
Yeah, ah. I'm just a casual observer, if that's okay, and I will keep my mouth zip shut.
That's fine. Okay.
John's fine. That's not us, is it?
That's probably Sandra.
Oh, okay.
It's probably Sandra beeping her car. She's so funny. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
All right. See you later.
See you later.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Elias.
Welcome again.
Thank you.
What shall we discuss this day?
I just want to ask one quick impression, and then I'm going to turn it over to John. Met a woman at the group session last night, Jenna Clayton. One, I want to know her essence name.
Essence name. Nayreen. N-A-Y-R-E-E-N.
And is she Sumafi?
Correct.
And is she aligned either Ilda or Gramada?
Gramada.
And is she religious?
Yes.
Is she soft?
Yes.
Oh my God. Am I good at this or what? All right. Okay. Now, how about you?
Well, first of all, I'm brand new at this stuff, so.
That is acceptable.
I haven't really done any readings or whatever, but.
It matters not.
I was wondering what the differences were between following your impulses and, you know, not doing something because of, you know, either fear or some past association. It's something that you might be, if you did, you may have really enjoyed or help you grow or something like that.
Now, let me express to you that there is a difference between an impulse and an impression. An impulse is a type of prompting, and that can be generated for different reasons. Not always beneficial reasons. An impression is different. An impression is a communication. It is very similar to intuition, although there is a slight difference. Impressions generally are not necessarily accompanied or translated by a feeling. Impressions are more expressed, generally speaking, it's not a rule, through a thought or a sensing. Now, in relation to following impressions, impressions are important to pay attention to, for that is an inner communication, and in a manner of speaking, it is an avenue in which you guide yourself in relation to what you want, in relation to what is important to you. And in relation to what is efficient, expedient, in this, the most obvious manner to test impressions, so to speak, is what you automatically do in not listening to them. And then they subsequently are validated. You incorporate an impression and you do not listen to it. You note it, but you do not listen to it, and you generate a different choice, and whatever your impression was will materialize. And you will express, I knew that. Why did I do this? I knew that. And I did not pay attention to it. The reason that you do that is to, in a manner of speaking, teach yourself to trust yourself. For when you do not listen to an impression, you validate it. Therefore, you show yourself the validity, the importance of the impression, and you show yourself that it is worthy of not only paying attention to, but trusting. Generally, when you do follow an impression, you avoid an action or a manifestation that you do not want. Therefore, it is not as obviously validated, for you are not displaying what that impression was by not following it. When you are following it, you move smoothly and easily and you accomplish, and therefore you do not obviously see a validation of it. Other than you are moving easily and smoothly and you accomplish what you want. But you do not necessarily attribute that to listening to your impressions. But that is the situation. Impressions seem to be random. They are not. But in any given moment, you may be struck by a sensing or a thought that in that moment seems illogical or irrational, or it seems to be nonsensical. This is the reason also that in many situations you do not pay attention to them. For you cannot offer yourself what you perceive to be a valid reason for that idea. A very simple example is you walk into a shop and you are browsing and you pay attention to some object that you are attracted to, that you like, that you may want to purchase, and you incorporate an impression, a thought, that seems random. I should purchase this now. Or, if I do not purchase this now, it will be gone. But you immediately rationalize, and perhaps you even gaze around, and perhaps that one item that you want, perhaps there are several of them in that shop. Therefore, you further justify yourself and you express, no, I do not choose to spend this money, and I will purchase it later. And you return to the shop, perhaps the next day, and all of the duplicates of that item are gone. And now you cannot purchase it. That impression is not alerting you to a future event. What it is doing is you are naturally tapping into your own knowing, and you are offering yourself information in relation to what you want. Whether it be an expression, whether it be a manifestation, it matters not. It could be incorporating a conversation with another individual and generating an impression, I should stop speaking. And you do not, and you subsequently create a conflict. In this, the future seems to bear out or validate your impressions, and therefore they seem to be expressed in relation to any future action, but in actuality they are not. They are you communicating to you in the moment. What is your greatest benefit, and what is the most expedient and the most efficient action for you to do in this moment in relation to what you want and what you want to accomplish? Generally speaking, if you are paying attention, if you incorporate enough experiences in which you validate your impressions by not following them, you will begin to question that, and you will begin to experiment with following them. And as you do that, you begin to realize that the more you pay attention to these seemingly random ideas that seem to be illogical, irrational, and founded in no basis or no fact, that they actually are beneficial, and that your movement is much easier, much more efficient, and you create what you want much more and are much more successful when you do listen. It is very similar to listening to your intuition. Your intuition generally will be more connected with feelings. That can also be generated through sensing, and dependent upon what focus type you are. If you are a thought focused individual, you may not translate as much through feeling with an impression or with an intuition expression as an individual that is an emotional individual. But generally speaking, there is more of a feeling attached to intuition than there would be to an impression. Intuition also, generally speaking, moves in more directions in assessment rather than a statement or an evaluation of an action. It is more in the direction of communicating to you information that assesses a situation or energy. Intuition is very helpful in relation to interactions with other individuals, for it helps you to evaluate the energy that is being expressed. and how it is being expressed. It also very much aids you in relation to trust. Your intuition will always move in the direction of what you can trust. And therefore, it can be used as an excellent gauge if you are questioning a trusting situation. Your intuition will express to you in the direction of what you can trust or what you cannot trust. Therefore, always what your greatest benefit will be. But for the most part, it is as simple as paying attention and practicing. Experiment. When you incorporate an impression or you feel your intuition, experiment. Allow yourself to move in the direction that it is prompting you rather than to question it. And watch what occurs. Generally speaking, you will not be disappointed.
Tell me one more time the difference between an impulse and an impression.
As I expressed, the impressions are information that you offer yourself in relation to expedience and what is to your benefit. Impulses are different. For impulses can be expressed in the direction of your benefit, but impulses can be strongly influenced by balance and whether you are balanced or not in any particular moment. Balance is not an expression or an action that you do compartmentally, and it is not an action that you do once and then ever after. Balance is an action that you do continuously, moment by moment. And balance in its genuine expression is all-encompassing. It is not a matter of I am balancing in this area and I am balancing in this area. Allow yourself to entertain the idea of a juggler. A juggler balances many balls simultaneously. If that juggler focuses upon one ball, they are not balanced and all of the balls fall. It is a matter of balancing all the balls simultaneously. It is the same with your life. Now, if you are not in balance in some direction, you are not balanced. In that, when you are not balanced, impulses at times may not be entirely accurate or trustworthy. For you may be incorporating an impulse to generate a certain action that is connected with an issue that is not necessarily beneficial to you. Impulses are promptings. They are actual physical promptings. They are different. They are a prompting from your body consciousness to generate an action. Not to generate no action. impulses are always in the direction of generating some type of action. But as I expressed, in some time frameworks, they may not necessarily be beneficial to you. Very simple example. Perhaps an individual is not expressing balance at a particular time framework. And using our other example of the shop, the individual may enter the shop and may incorporate an impulse to purchase an item in the shop. In this, in not being balanced, that impulse may be a prompting in relation to the individual attempting to appease an issue by generating an action that temporarily soothes them. I will purchase this item, therefore it generates an instantaneous satisfaction to me, which creates a false sense of comfort temporarily. This is a temporary false soothing that is associated with an issue, which the impulse is prompting. In a balanced state, impulses can be trusted, for in paying attention to your impulses, you will be moving yourself in directions that you want to engage. There's a very simple manner in which you can differentiate. When you incorporate an impulse, which is a physical prompting to an action, you can inquire of yourself, why do I want to do this? What will I accomplish if I do this? You may surprise yourself with the answers, for if it is not to your benefit, you are likely to express to yourself merely, I want to. If it is to your benefit, you will offer yourself a benefit reason, not merely, I want to. Mm-hmm. You will know why you are being prompted in that direction. In this, when you offer yourself that type of answer with an impulse, I can, or I want to, simply, that is a suspicious answer. For you're not answering yourself. You are not offering yourself an actual reason. And that is an indicator that there is some issue that is attempting to be momentarily falsely soothed by that impulse.
All right, that's very helpful.
Yeah, that's good.
I wanted to change subjects. You know, I have this, I don't really know that much about it, but for whatever reason I have this negative connotation of the Church of Scientology. But I read a book on the Dianetics book, and the whole thing about auditing, and you know, it sounded very interesting and kind of plausible to me, where you basically, I guess, remember or replay these things that made you, you know, maybe you gave these impressions, or I'm not sure if they're really impressions, but you know, maybe these negative thoughts or thoughts that really have, you know, influenced you, maybe in a good way, maybe in a bad way, but I guess the way I read the book was it's mostly in a bad way, and then you could clear them, and then kind of get to these root causes of things that maybe give you anxiety or disease or whatever. And I was wondering, I guess, if there's any validity to that.
Yes.
And does the auditing process actually work?
Yes. The philosophy, in actuality, is expressed in different terms, different words, but it is very similar to what I express to all of you. In relation to auditing, in relation to that process, it is very similar to what I have expressed in association with associations. That associations are evaluations that you generate in relation to experiences that you have. You express an evaluation in relation to any experience that you have. Many of them, your evaluation is neutral. Therefore, the judgment that you incorporate with it is also neutral. Some evaluations of experiences are, this is a good experience, and you like it. Some, this is a bad experience, and you do not like it. I've also expressed that some associations are different from other associations. Associations that you generate as a small one before you learn attachments are held with memory within your body consciousness in what you would term to be a very surface manner. Therefore, they are very easily triggered. And this, they are also somewhat challenging to uncover or discover, for you generate, in your very mundane terms, a lifetime of experiences in relation to those types of associations that are continuously influencing you. They are influencing your choices very continuously and consistently throughout your lifetime. And the reason that they continue to influence you is that you are unaware of what that association is. But in some form, that association was generated for at some point, in some capacity, you generated an experience that you perceived to be threatening to your genuine expression. It is not necessarily a traumatic experience. Individuals incorporate a tendency to think that these types of associations are all generated by some traumatic experience that you engage as a small one. That is not necessarily the situation. It merely can be an experience that may not have been traumatic at all, but that was some type of threat to your genuine expression of self that prompted you to question yourself or to feel unsafe. And in that, that association becomes established and it begins influencing your choices throughout your life, and you are unaware of how it is influencing you over and over and over again in many, many, many different capacities. The method of auditing, or the method of inventorying, is very similar to the concept of discovering your own associations and how they influence you throughout your life. And when you are aware of them, you can empower yourself to generate intentional choices rather than automatic choices. I would also express that it is quite valid and accurate that what you do in your experiences, what you feel, and the directions that you engage in your lifetime can very easily, and often does, create physical manifestations. You are affecting of your body consciousness continuously. And in this, there are many expressions that individuals engage that are physically affecting or that create physical manifestations. Dis-ease. Dis-ease is not created by contagion. It is created within your body consciousness. You are instructing your body consciousness to malfunction and to create a disease. It is all orchestrated by you. Therefore, in that regard also, I would most definitely agree. I would express that there are, yes, interpretations of the philosophy, and therefore I would, as with any philosophy, suggest that you incorporate assimilating that, paying attention to what resonates with you. I would encourage you to do that listening to myself. What resonates with you, for ultimately they are your choices. It is your lifetime, it is your choices, it is your body consciousness, and it is a matter of how you choose to experience it. There is no one ultimate, all-encompassing right method. Every one of you is uniquely different. Therefore, it would not be possible to create one right, ultimately correct direction for every individual. In the same manner that you cannot express that every individual upon your planet eat the same food. For you are all different. And that same food may not be agreeable to every individual. It is a matter of what resonates with you. I would also express in this that there is an unfortunate aspect with this philosophy that the creator of that particular philosophy chose to disengage in the manner that he did. You incorporate very strong ideas and philosophies in relation to how an individual disengages. And if they do it voluntarily, that is wrong. And if they do it voluntarily, and if they succeed, there is some element with that individual that is wrong. There's something wrong with them. Therefore, if there is something wrong with that individual, there must be something wrong with his philosophy. It must be flawed. For he abandoned it. I would express he did not abandon it. It was a choice. And I would also express very definitely that the choice to disengage voluntarily is not always associated with an issue or a problem. That some individuals choose that direction for their value fulfillment is complete. But their body consciousness is healthy. As I have expressed, your body consciousness incorporates two non-physical functions. One is to store memory. The other is to preserve existence. To preserve its existence. This is the reason that actions such as suicide for most individuals is difficult and requires more than one attempt. For the body consciousness will fight against that action, for it fights to survive. An individual can be, in your terms, physically healthy, and their body consciousness can be functioning adequately, and they may have completed their value fulfillment in this reality. The fact that they completed their value fulfillment does not necessarily stop the function of your body. Yes, generally speaking, most individuals that generate this type of action, voluntarily disengaging, most of them generate that action in relation to an issue. Most of them generate that action in an action of desperation, but not all. And it is incorrect to judge all by most, or to judge any by most, for each one is individual. And regardless, even if there was an issue, even if there was a malfunction with the individual, it matters not. It does not invalidate the information. The information is valid. And it can be very beneficial and very helpful. I would not discount it.
Alright, that's very interesting. Alright, I'm going to switch gears one more time.
Very well.
And I don't know if there's even a question in here, but there's a couple things that happened to me when I was young, and I just want to talk about them.
Very well.
One time I was walking through a school parking lot that I don't remember if I was going there at the time, but it was after school, there was no cars, there was nobody there. And as I'm walking, and I'm completely alone, you know, I don't see anybody anywhere. As I'm walking, it's as if I kicked a bottle, like a Coke bottle, glass Coke bottle. And it's like right, I mean, I don't feel it, but it's like right in front of me. And as if it's like rolling kind of at a high speed and slowing down until it stops. And I'm looking around, there's nobody anywhere. And I all of a sudden feel like I'm not alone, but I have no idea what happened. And I can't remember if I was afraid or not, but it was just a very strange feeling. And I've just never forgotten it, you know. Do you have any idea what that was?
Yes. I would express this not as unusual as you may think, that experiences such as this occur with many individuals. And they're curious to the individuals, for you incorporate no rational explanation. They are more common with younger ages, but not exclusive to them. As I have expressed previously, there are energies around you continuously. If your senses were designed or could access all of the input of all of the manifestations around you in this very moment, in this very room, this room would be so crowded, you would likely feel that you could not breathe. That is how many energies are present and around you continuously. And they are actual manifestations. As we expressed previously, animals see them very frequently, for they actually see forms. And those forms are around you. At times, you may be unconcentrated or unfocused enough, relaxed and unfocused enough in your attention to become aware of one or more of these energies around you. They can be other dimensional energies, therefore even incorporating form, which you do not generally see, or they can be other essences that individuals very frequently translate as angels. They also very frequently translate other dimensional beings as aliens. Even if you do not see them, you feel the presence of that energy. It's very similar to the experience of sleeping and incorporating another individual standing over you as you are sleeping. You will awaken merely from their presence, even if they are silent, for you feel that energy, which is concentrated upon you. It is the same type of action. You can deem it to be an alien, you can deem it to be an angel. It generally matters not. What it is another energy which does incorporate a form that you may not be allowing yourself to see, but you sense its presence. And how you do that is through your energy field. Your energy field touches other energies. It feels them. It bumps into them. And in that, when your energy field touches another energy, you are alerted as much so as if an actual physical touch touched your body. Your energy field can feel it equally as strongly, and you will be aware that there is another presence. This is not your imagination. It is very real. It does not occur frequently, for it requires you being uncluttered and not being necessarily very much focused upon any particular subject or action or direction or even environment. But generally speaking, it occurs frequently when individuals are daydreaming. And they rationalize it by expressing that it was a part of the daydream when it was not. It was actually an action and an encounter that they may have generated, but they rationalize it into their daydream. But that is a state in which the individual is awake, but they are relaxed and they are somewhat unfocused and allow for that sensing of what is actually around them. That is what you experienced.
Kind of a follow on to that is, like, I'm pretty much a, I believe what I see thing, and believe the physical world is the physical world, but...
Understandable.
But there is something that's happened to me enough times that I don't know if it makes me question that, but I just know there's a lot more to it. Like, the best example, and it's something that I can still do today, not 100%, but... You know, I'll be sitting there and I have a feeling that someone's looking at me. And I can usually turn around to that exact place and there's someone looking at me, you know. Or I could do the opposite, for where I'm looking or staring at somebody. I don't even know why necessarily, but they'll turn around and look exactly at me, you know. And so I know there's this stuff going on that I just don't understand, you know. But that seems easy. Other things I'm not even conscious of, you know.
Let me express to you, my friend, energy is very real. Merely for the fact that you do not see it does not mean it is not real.
Mm-hmm.
And affecting. And as I expressed, it is as real as an actual physical touch. you are projecting energy and receiving energy continuously, every moment of every day, even when you are sleeping. It matters not. You are continuously projecting and receiving energy. And in that, it is not required that you be completely relaxed to notice it. Generally speaking, to notice another being, that is very helpful. But to be interacting with energy in a mundane manner, in what you term to be your usual capacity, you do it continuously. In this, it is merely a matter of how you are directing your attention. That is the key factor. If you are paying attention to what you feel, remember what we were discussing yesterday. Feelings are expressed emotionally and physically. Your physical body consciousness incorporates what? 5 senses. 5. That is considerable. 5 different avenues in which you are physically sensing all that is around you. It is physically engaging energy all around you. The one sense that you do not pay as much attention to is your sense of touch. And this is the sense that is engaged likely the most other than sight. Sight is your predominant sense. But touch would be, I would express a very close second. For that is what is occurring when you sense someone looking at you. Your energy is feeling the energy from the other individual. Your skin feels it. It feels the energy touch you. The only time you recognize energy touching you is if you generate an electrical shock. That is rational. But it touches you continuously. When you are looking at another individual and they seem to be oblivious to you, and suddenly they turn around and they acknowledge that you are looking at them and they return the glance, the same action is happening. You are projecting energy and their skin is feeling it. It alerts them and they turn. Just as you are alerted and you turn. You can project energy, which you do continuously, with intentions that other individuals will respond to. You think or you explain to yourself that you are telepathically offering a suggestion to another individual. You may be concentrating your energy in relation to another individual and expressing to them, pick up a pencil, pick up a pencil, pick up a pencil. You think you are projecting a thought to that individual and influencing them telepathically. No, you are not. You are projecting an energy which will actually touch the individual's hand. And the individual may respond and be prompted to pick up a pencil. For your energy is touching them. Their sense of touch is being affected and they feel it. They may not interpret What the reason is, they may merely respond to that touch as an impulse, once again, and they may be prompted to generate the action that you were thinking. But you are all interconnected. It is not your thinking that influences them. It is the energy projection with an intention that is influencing. For you naturally all are open and receiving each other's energies. You are always influencing each other. Whether it is intentional or unintentional, you do it continuously. These are merely examples of how you project and receive energy and how it affects your physical senses and how that influences your responses in different situations. And in that, it does not require being relaxed or being more open in a particular moment. All it requires is what you are paying attention to. And generally speaking, you pay attention to your senses, which is the reason that you project in that manner, for you will pay attention to your senses. If energy collides with your skin, you will pay attention to it. You feel it. You feel the back of your neck. You feel the hairs lift on your arms. These are energy connections with your actual sense of touch. And they influence you in different expressions. You can play with that tremendously, and it can be quite fun in concentrating your energy in a particular direction and watching how it is received and observing what the responses are to that reception. And perhaps the intention will be no more complicated than, I want to bump my energy into this individual's arm. I want to bump my energy into this individual's finger. Generally speaking, the other individual will not necessarily be objectively aware, but they will respond. They will notice.
Now, is this something you really have to focus on, concentrate?
No. No. You do it automatically. You do it naturally. Therefore, no, it is not necessary to concentrate. It is merely dependent upon what you want to do. I would express that if you want to engage more complicated actions, it would require more concentration. But as I expressed, it is dependent upon what your intention is, what you want to do. Mm-hmm. But no, it is not necessary to be concentrating upon energy every moment and what is occurring with it. It is significant to pay attention to what type of energy you are projecting in relation to what you reflect to yourself, especially if you are not comfortable or you dislike what you are reflecting. It can be very beneficial to pay attention to what type of energy you are projecting that is creating that reflection. For whatever your senses engage is a reflection to you of what you have already projected. But as you are already aware, I would encourage the more you simplify, the easier your movement will be. The more you complicate, the more difficulty will express.
Yeah.
Elias, was that you with him during the when he kicked the bottle?
Yes.
I figured.
I generate introductions to individuals, generally speaking, in young ages. And eventually they move round to objectively engaging myself.
Some people are slower than others.
But eventually they come round. I express tremendous appreciation to you each, and this has been quite enjoyable.
Thank you, Elias. Love it.
I shall be anticipating our next meeting with each of you and both of you. And I shall be offering my great encouragement to your continued accomplishments and successes.
Thank you.
For you are accomplishing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To you, my dear friends, in tremendous affection and lovingness. Au revoir.
Au revoir. That's funny. I'm surprised you weren't curious about who that other baby